tell us all about it is SEN's very own. His name's Bharat Sundaresan. He joins us. Bharat, thanks so much for your time.
No worries at all, Kane. Good to talk to you.
I watched a bit of the T20 game last night. So firstly, the Aussies' performance from an Australian perspective. How did you see it? Was it a good performance or a bit scratchy?
No, I think Aaron Finch summed it up perfectly after the game. It was very sloppy from both teams. It just, and everything about the game was sloppy. I mean, just heard you talk about the crowd. It just felt very tepid, you know. I mean, especially, and just to answer your caller's question, these are not official ICC warm-up games, right? This is an actual bilateral series that Australia are playing against West Indies, and they'll play another bilateral series against England, and then the official ICC warm-up games. I think Australia play one game against India and at the Gabba, if I'm not mistaken. So that's maybe why, like, the patrons were allowed yesterday, but it just looked very odd, just the game and everything involved. So, looks like Australia is still tinkering with their combination. Cam Green has given them a very good headache, but and you know, they're waiting on Stoinis getting fit over the weekend against England. Mitch Marsh, whenever he starts bowling again. So, I think Australia have enough time before that opening game against New Zealand. So they're just making the most of it. But yesterday was a game all involved would want to forget, I guess.
Yeah, you mentioned Aaron Finch, though, from a positive viewpoint. It's been uncommon for him to save us recently, but his performance at number four was a really strong one and a welcomed batch of runs for him last night.
Oh, very much so. And you know, his T20 form, and he said this all along, Ken, has been pretty good. It's just that the T20 series always get kind of lodged in with the one-day stuff that people just muddle them up in a way and say that, oh, he's just not scoring runs anymore. I think he averages over 40 in T20 cricket. And he's, I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that he can just play with a lot more freedom in T20 cricket. And it's funny, right? He walks in at number four. It was a game designed for Steve Smith, in a way, you know, early wickets, a tight run chase. That's one of the reasons why they do play Steve Smith. And the one time they kind of leave Steve Smith on the bench, Australia find themselves in that position. And Aaron Finch put his hand up, and you could see how frustrated he was when he got out. I think he just wanted to see his team home in the end. And he was just generally a little scratchy here and there. But I think his T20 form, there's no question marks about it. And it's good to see him just get that half century, and a couple more half century leading into that World Cup will just do him a world of good.
You mentioned the experimentation with Cameron Green, who's Australia's biggest, next big thing, I should say. He opened the batting last night. Do you think that's the possibility that he may continue at the top of the order, or more of an experiment?
I think at the moment it's still an experiment. Look, even those involved are saying that no. I mean, they aren't very positive about him at some point making it to the World Cup squad, even in case there is an injury. And I don't think anybody expected Cam Green, the T20 opener, to come off the way it has. They took him to India. He hadn't opened much at the highest level or in competitive cricket much anyway in the last few years. But it just came off. We're seeing why there has always been that hype around Cameron Green. You know, what Greg Chappell said, he's a once-in-a-generation talent or something to that effect. And we're seeing it happen. We've seen it in Test cricket. We saw it in one-day cricket against Zimbabwe and New Zealand, where he took 5 wickets against Zimbabwe, took Australia home in a tight finish in one of the one-dayers after they were, 5-0. And now we're seeing Cam Green, the T20 talent, come up. Maybe if, you know, these series were played 5 months ago, he would have been a sure shot in that World Cup squad. But look, I think it's just a good problem to have for Australia. And look, if there is an injury, if Stoinis or Mitch Marsh, any of those all-rounders do pull up with an injury at some point during that World Cup, you just have a ready-made performer in waiting.
Where does Kyle Mayer's shot last night rank? I've seen Adam Gilchrist, Greg Blewett go to social media and say it is the best shot they have ever seen. Do you share that view, and where does it rank?
I don't know. I think it's a shot, Kane, that a lot of people are going to be attempting in backyard cricket and in club cricket and failing miserably. So at one point, it looked like Matthew Wade was trying to pull off a Kyle Mayer's, and it didn't work out towards the end of the game. No, it's just a spectacular shot. And look, Kyle Mayer's was a relative unknown 18 months ago. And then he's just taken world cricket by storm. What he makes, his test debut, makes over 200 and takes Australia, West Indies home in that famous run chase against Bangladesh last year. He's taken a lot of wickets bowling his medium pacers against England. Now he's already given Australia a wow moment. And he is an integral part of that test team. And this is the Caribbean summer down under. So we'll be hearing and seeing a lot of Kyle Mayers. But as a fellow left-hander, I think it ranks right on top.
It was unbelievable. I haven't seen a ball hit that cleanly perhaps ever. Now, the T20 World Cup gets underway in just over a week's time, in fact. And I'm looking at the ICC rankings. India are on top. They play a lot more T20 cricket than the other nations. But can we go through them and who has a realistic shot of winning this tournament? So India, you would say yes, Bharat. Can England win it?
Just 12 months ago, Kane, England would have started favourites in that T20, 2021 T20 World Cup. And they're still right up there. They have, in many ways, reinvented white ball cricket, especially 50-over cricket, but they have such powerful hitters in up and down the order. Johnny Bairstow is a huge miss. Their bowling's always sort of a question mark. Jofra Archer is still recovering. I saw some clips of him bowling, but he's not going to be ready for the next few months for sure. So I think the bowling's the big issue for England. Otherwise, they're right up there as favourites. Australia are interesting. Look, they look much weaker in some sense last year going to that World Cup, and they went all the way and won it.
Mm.
This time they look much stronger. Tim David's come through. Aaron Finch, like we said, is in good form. Josh Hazlewood has become arguably the best T20 bowler in world cricket, in my opinion, fast bowler anyway. So I think Australia and India, like you said, India are going to be impacted mainly by Jasprit Bumrah's absence. You know, he is the death bowler who kind of defines how India go about T20 cricket. So they'll miss him mightily, but they have definitely changed the attack in T20 with the bat. They are a lot more explosive at the start, which was a complaint for a long time with India. So they'll be in there as well. But look, that's the thing with a team like the West Indies as well. Even though they start in round one and they have to sort of qualify for the main league, you can never rule them out. A couple of players come off. They've all played a lot of league cricket. Those would be my teams. But can you ever write off New Zealand?
Yeah, and South Africa and Pakistan also rank in the top four of the ICC rankings as well. So you would perhaps give them a shot. Now, you're in Adelaide. And surprise, surprise, we've absolutely turned the weather on for you. You're going to be down at Karen Rolton Oval for the Shield game between the Vics and South Australia. And Will Pekowski's going to bat, which is always interesting, and we do always wish him well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was here yesterday. It was not as sunny as it is today, just watching them train. And I watch Will Pekowski, show off his soccer skills and also just get involved with some keep-uppy as they do in Australia. And look, he just looks happy, and like he's happy to be back. His last visit to Adelaide for the Sheffield Shield game didn't end too well. He left the ground early after being concussed after another episode of that sort. So really excited to see Will Pekowski. I just got to the ground, by the way. And look, there are others as well. I mean, Marcus Harris would want to come back and prove a point this season. Scott Boland, the greatest fast bowler to ever played the game statistically at the moment, will love the green-looking pitch here. It's a very interesting pitch here at the Karen Rolton. All in all, it's going to be an exciting 4 days. And Travis Head will want to make a mark as well. He always does at this stage of the Sheffield Shield early on. A lot to look forward to.
Brett, thank you so much for the update, mate. Look forward to chatting with you throughout the summer and hearing you on SEN.
I look forward to talking to you as well. Cheers. Have a great day.
Good on you, mate. Always appreciate your company. So the World Cup starts on October 16th, so just 10 days away. The Aussies take on New Zealand on the 22nd of October. Over 500,000 tickets have already been sold for the tournament. So cannot wait for that.